Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 22th of September, Anno Domini 2018, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Wright.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing loose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. And before we do that, first, happy birthday to two of our gentlemen on the show. You both had birthdays.
Who walked in?
And you, exactly. You before that. Oh, that's why my headphones aren't working. There's nothing plugged in.
That would be it would be easier. I don't know much, but I know that it would be easier if you plugged your headphones in.
No, it's too loud.
Exactly. I'm fiddling with the volume and nothing's happening. It's also the first day of fall, and the weather is proving it. And equally importantly, of course, it is the birthday of Mr. Bilbo Baggins. So,
if he was 111 then.
111. He was 111 then.
What is he now?
Well, now, of course, he's gone into the West, so he's ageless.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So if you have a tablet or older laptop with just a tiny bit of storage available, pay attention. Microsoft's upcoming Windows 10 October 2018 update may cause you some headaches unless you tidy up. In a support document, Microsoft acknowledged that Windows 10's Windows update fails to check PCs for adequate storage before it kicks off, an oversight that may cause the upcoming feature update to repeatedly fail unless the PC has enough space to download and install it. Now, pay attention as I finish reading this. Microsoft's solution to having made a mistake is not to fix the mistake, but to make you fix their mistake. Microsoft hasn't said exactly how much space the upcoming October update will require, but the company recommends a regular regimen of system maintenance to help ensure that updates are successful. That involves regularly banishing unused files to the cloud or deleting temporary files. Fortunately, Microsoft already provides some tools to help you with this, including an automated routine that you can turn on with a toggle, Storage Sense. Found within Settings, System, Storage, toggling on Storage Sense will automatically delete temp files in the recycle bin every 30 days and will do the same for your Downloads folder if you wish. This latter feature is off by default, as some people use Downloads as a general repository for random files downloaded from the internet. What a concept, using Downloads to store downloaded files.
Yeah.
A second alternative is to click the This PC bar at the top of the storage menu within Settings, which not intuitively expands to show various categories of files within your PC, apps, photos, documents, etc. If you click the temporary files line, Windows will scan those files and make suggestions of files that can be safely deleted. Finally, there's OneDrive. Though the web interface can be daunting, you can click the small cloud icon on the taskbar, sign into OneDrive if you haven't already, and dump files into the cloud, assuming you only need 5 gigs worth. Alternatively, you can use a flash drive or external hard drive to dump some files while the update takes place. Somewhat ironically, the October 2018 update includes some features that Microsoft says will facilitate this process in future updates, including an improved Storage Sense that will automatically send files you haven't used a while on into your OneDrive cloud storage, filling that up so that you have to pay for more space. But until the October 2018 update hits your PC, you won't have access to them. So, we all right? We're done already?
No, all right.
Where's that? What music is that tab coming from?
Yeah, right.
And what tab is that music coming
one,
from?
One or the other, yeah.
The thing that is, though, is I wasn't even touching the mouse. I'm over on a whole different screen.
Rob, get off the computer.
Yeah, Rob, stop. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like to remind you, is Microsoft says, make space on your hard drive for a new update. And your choices are, I've got lots of space. I think I've got lots of space. I have no idea how much space I've got. And I store my most important files in the recycle bin. So far, we've got 26 votes. And of course, most of you have said I store my most important files in the recycle bin. But it depends. If you've got a desktop, well, and of course, if you have more to say about this, you can do so in our forums. If you scroll down on the right, under fascinating stuff, you will see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. And currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 22 September 18. Microsoft says make space on your hard drive for the new update. So far, I don't have any idea how many people have spoken in there. Only a couple. Then you can join us here. You can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
This is almost not news. For years, I've been angry at Windows. I'm trying to copy files to a flash drive, and it doesn't check ahead of time if it will fit.
Yep.
You get to the end, and it says not enough space, and it stops. And doesn't tell you which ones it copied, which ones it didn't copy. So you got to start all over again.
Right. Right. And in particular, if you're trying to copy, for example, an ISO.
Yeah.
And it's an 8-gig file, and there's just like 300 bytes short.
Right. And you think it would fit on an 8-gig flash drive.
You would think it would, yes.
No,
but it does not. And it's always been an issue. But now it's an important issue because it can kill your update.
Right.
And things can be left in a bad state. So make sure you've got enough space. And again, many people have... Nowadays, if you've got a desktop, you've got terabyte hard drives.
Right.
So, okay, you probably have more than enough space. But if you've got a laptop, and particularly if you've got a lot of pictures or a lot of files or a lot of documents, a lot of whatever, you may not have enough space for the update.
Right.
So you need to move some, or you got a tablet,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You need to move some stuff off.
We would guess at least 20 gigs. The download is probably 4 or 5 gigs. That will decompress into another, 8 or 9 gigs, and then
Easy.
It needs space to do the actual work in.
Right.
So, 20 gigs is probably. I was just installing Windows on a 64 gig Surface, and Windows it took up half the drive basically.
Yep.
Because it was a 64 gig Surface.
Well, and you think 64 gig is a lot?
Yeah.
Well, it's like I have a 32 gig. One of my Chromebooks has a 16 gig thing in it, but.
Yeah.
All the operating system is in flash memory.
Right. So it's a different drive.
Right. It's a different concept. I've got 16 gig. If you've got a 64 gig drive and 32 of it is operating system, you really only have a 32 gig drive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. But you need to be careful. You need to pay attention now to your files. And for those of you who do store files in the recycle bin, don't. It's a very bad place to put things. Check if your system is indeed set up to delete files, temp files from the recycle bin every 30 days, it may well be that a file you've been saving there is gone. And in addition, if you've got a file you want saved, save it somewhere for real.
We've run into that with customers that have put stuff in the recycle bin that didn't want them recycled.
Right.
Well, I didn't know they'd be deleted. Well,
that's why folks should store it they call a temp folder.
Right, almost trash. So on the Mac, it's called trash, which I think is a little more descriptive.
Right, or wastebasket, which is what Apple...
Microsoft used to call it,
and Linux still does.
Yeah, now I want to recycle that. I can always get it back out of the recycle bin until the recycle bin is emptied.
Right, because it's to be recycled.
Yeah.
And to some people, that means I can use it again. And to other people, that means it gets thrown away and somebody else can use it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But none of that is what actually happens to it in a computer. I guess it recycles the bits.
Yeah.
So it puts them empty on the hard drive so you can use them again. I suppose that's what that means. But yeah, you want to be very careful.
They're trying to be PC on their PC.
On their PC. But I'm home. Thank you. He'll be here all week. Tip your weight, Steph. Here's the thing. Be very aware of how much space is in your hard drive. It's important, and you need to be more careful about it. And as I said a moment or two ago, you can give us a call. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, so as I'm looking back through history, all these same caveats were coming out in the April 2018 update.
Yeah,
you may not have enough free space, and you better free up your space. So Microsoft didn't even learn from their own last mistake.
You would think,
You would think, but no, it's Microsoft.
Well, that would take somebody like 15 minutes to do.
Yeah,
right. And your choice is either Microsoft is too cheap to just tell somebody do this, or they haven't got programmers who are smart enough to do it.
Yeah, they all have petabyte RAIDs they're working on.
Right, and they don't care. Right, that is exactly it. I don't need to worry about that. All right, and of course you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Just like Rich did from Irondequoit, New York. Hi, Rich. What's up?
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Quick question, I guess. I don't know. Wife's computer, who she states that it's running slower. I've run antivirus. I've deleted temp files and all that other kind of stuff. I wondered if you guys had any other suggestions for cleaning up a computer, if you will, I guess.
Did you run just an antivirus or also anti-malware?
All of the above.
Okay. You've deleted temp files, but how much other space is on her hard drive, and what's running in the background?
Nothing new. Let me put it to you that way. At least I don't think so. I mean, she hasn't added any programs, and the only thing she really does is travel the internet and email, if you will.
Right. Your connection hasn't gotten slower. A lot of other people on your head end or whatever. So,
no, not that I know of. Actually, my connection through Spectrum has been pretty good, actually.
Okay. So, all right. So, but she believes the machine is slowing down.
Yes. And once in a while, she'll say that it doesn't shut down as quick as it used to or something to that respect.
It all sounds like there is something running in the background.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then that would have to quit when you're doing a shutdown.
Okay.
If you look at the task manager and then the process list. So the main window in the task manager shows you the applications running, which could be none. But then you go to the process tab, and it shows you the hundreds of Windows processes that are running in the background. There might be something weird in there. The Windows Update task is trying to download the giant update, and it got stuck or something. It may be a legitimate program is bogging the system down.
Right. The other thing to do is just check how much free disk space there is on your machine.
Okay.
You might want to run scan disk or check disk.
Okay.
And defrag it if it seems to be overly fragmented, although that's much less likely with Windows 10 than it was with anything else.
Yeah, and I've often heard that running defrag too often is not a good thing.
Right. You absolutely don't want to do that. But, you know, if once a year is certainly not too often.
But it's not like the old days back when hard drives would get fragmented. Once they came out with NTFS, that was a far more efficient way of organizing the files, and defragging became something more or less of the past.
And the hard drives got big enough that they didn't have to let it get fragmented in the first place.
Okay.
Right. What else has changed? Any new hardware added?
No, nothing that I know of. I don't think she's added anything other than we just run Norton antivirus and that kind of stuff, but nothing, no new programs that I know of.
One of the strange things that we often see is that through no change, your computer just starts feeling slower as it gets older.
Right.
And sometimes that's because, unbeknownst to us, it's being asked to do more things. So you said she does web surfing. Well, a lot of ads on web pages are now animations rather than just a static picture. So it's asking for more processor power and more memory.
Right.
If you have a couple of tabs open, that needs even more memory. So little things that we don't think affect anything will add up to something bigger.
Right.
Well, the only thing I know is that she's a very avid Candy Crush player.
Oh, well, okay. Listen, hold on. We got to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Rich from Irondequoit, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jim McGrath, host of the Blues Spectrum. I hope you can tune in this Sunday evening from 7 until 9 for some of the best blues around here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benoit.
I'm Steve Wright.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites, and we're still talking to Rich from Irondequoit. You still there, Rich?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's talk Candy Crush.
Okay.
I suspect that what your wife is saying is, in fact, that Candy Crush has gotten very slow.
I don't know if that's the truth or not, but yeah, okay, let's go with that.
Because everybody's complaining about Candy Crush having gotten very slow.
Okay.
And there's two reasons for that. Do you happen to know which browser she's running?
Probably using it in Firefox.
Okay. Firefox is probably good. And is she running it on Facebook or directly from King's Saga, whatever the name of the company is?
I think, you know what, now that I think about it, I think right out of Facebook.
Okay. If it's, okay, yeah, Facebook is its own separate set of issues. Candy Crush on Facebook is slow, depending on the time of day and yada, yada, yada. Facebook is not as fast as people would like it to be. The second thing is that it depends on whether they're... I think Facebook is still using the Flash version of Candy Crush.
Okay.
And so there's two things that you need to do. One is you need to... she's using Firefox?
Yes, I believe probably going onto Firefox and then maybe to Facebook.
Well, through Firefox is what I'm saying. So you need to clear the cache in Firefox.
Okay.
Then you probably should clear the cache in Adobe Flash itself.
Okay.
And the easiest way to do that, I think, actually, we can have Steve.
Yeah, you have. There's a special URL you type in to load your
Right. And Steve's going to put a link for that.
Okay.
So you should clear the cache in Flash Player, and as a last resort, although we don't recommend doing it too often because it could be dangerous, run something along the lines of CCleaner to clean out your registry.
Okay.
Be very careful what you delete, but your registry could be just ridiculously full of junk.
Would the history in Firefox also be a problem?
Generally not, but it certainly doesn't hurt to delete that as well.
Okay.
And
try those.
She may want to try running it on King's own website directly rather than through Facebook. Okay. That way there's only one layer involved.
Right.
Sure.
And on King's own website, it runs in HTML5, which is faster than Flash anyway.
It runs in Flash.
Oh, it still runs in Flash?
Yeah.
Okay. They keep saying it runs in HTML5 now. Interesting.
Don't.
Anyway, all right. Give those things a try.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Have fun. Bye-bye. Good luck.
Well, that's Candy Crush Saga. Is that different than Candy Crush?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. I don't play that one.
I don't play any of them. So, I don't know.
Who?
Robert? I don't know.
Oh, there's Candy Crush Saga, Candy Crush Soda. God, there's so many of them.
Right. And while we think of them all as just Candy Crush.
Candy Crush Jelly.
Right. And while we think of them all as Candy Crush, the people who play them know that they are very different items. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Robert from Rochester, New York. What's up, Robert?
Hi. Okay, I'm running... Windows 10 on a homemade desktop machine, I've got several hard drives in it. I'm using an SSD for my system disk. I have a magnetic hard drive, a physical hard drive that has my data on it, and I've got two partitions, which we'll call D for Delta and P for Papa. Okay.
Okay.
I want to back everything up on the data drive to the cloud. Now, I have a small amount of experience with OneDrive and Google Drive, and they both seem to want you to designate a single folder to be synced with their service.
Right. They are syncing services. They are not backup services.
Okay. Okay, then. So I take it you're recommending that I use something else to accomplish what I want to do.
Well, there are two ways to do what you want to do. One is with a real backup service, like
Carbonite, Plan, Black Blaze.
Right. Most of those charge you a little bit of money. For example, Carbonite is what, $5 a month?
$5 a month per computer.
Right, per computer. But if you want, so if you're going to sync, that's automated, right?
So and the, so sync is not a backup, because if you make a change or if you delete something, that same thing is done on your synced drive. So now you don't have that backup copy.
Yeah, I understand that. What I'm, what I really want to protect myself from is hard disk failure. Not necessarily to go back and get a previous iteration of my data.
Oh, look. I see what you're saying. So that that certainly would work. Syncing to those things would certainly work. And OneDrive, the Microsoft one, only gives you 5 gig for free. So if you've got less than 5 gig, it's a suitable thing. Otherwise, you're going to be paying for some stuff.
I understand.
If you sync your desktop with Google Drive and, in fact, also with Google Photos, one of the things you can do when you set it up is determine how your data are saved, how your files are saved. If you save them in Google's own format, which you can then download back to any format you like, Microsoft Office, LibreOffice, rich text format, anything, PDFs, whatever you like, EPUBs. If you save them in Google's format, they don't count against your storage.
Okay, well, I'm willing to pay in order to get sufficient space to store this data. We're talking about 300 gigs. It's you know, the sum total of 30 years worth of computer use.
Yeah, sure.
So Google has actually confused the issue, that, and that's one of the things you're running into. They have two separate services, Google Backup and Google Sync, and Google Drive is almost a third service. So you can install Google Backup and Sync, which is a single program that does two different things. It will sync a certain folder that they imply you call Google Drive, or it can back up everything to the cloud drive. And so when you set it up, you can choose whether you want to pick which folders on your computer you're backing up to the cloud. And separately, you can choose which folders you're syncing to the cloud.
So with Google Backup and Sync, I should be able to do what I proposed at the beginning, to do two different physical drives.
Right.
Okay.
As long as you make sure you understand the difference between the backup and the sync.
Right. Yeah, I'll have to study that. It's clouding my elderly brain.
Yeah, welcome to that club.
Yeah. Now, is there time for a quick?
Well, let me finish one more thing.
Yes.
100 gig is $2 a month. A terabyte is $10 a month. You're about a third of a terabyte. So
Well, that's doable. That's really doable. $120
really
bucks a year.
Yeah, it's $9.99 a month, so $10 a month, $120 a year.
I mean, to go out and buy a new hard drive, you know, and do it locally would cost you in that range.
Right, and the convenience of having the ability to download it on a new machine or whatever you want to do is well worth it.
Yeah.
So take a look at Google Backup and Sync. For $10 a month, you get a terabyte of storage. I think that's going to be enough for you for now.
Yeah.
And I think you'll be in good shape.
I'll look at that.
Yeah.
The other thing... do we have time?
Yeah, go.
Okay, you mentioned last week you haven't used Excel in 10 years.
Yeah,
I'm heavily invested in Excel VBA scripts. It's the accumulated baggage of years of Excel use, and I've become pretty proficient in it, and it serves my purposes. Will anything else besides Excel run VBA scripts?
Directly, that's a lovely question.
Word, I think.
Well, yeah. He's thinking about...
Non-Microsoft, yeah.
I didn't hear what Steve said.
Microsoft Word can run VBA.
Word?
Yeah.
Well, these are spreadsheet I don't know what you call them, scripts or programs.
Right.
But I've got hours and hours and hours invested in writing these, and I've bent them to do my bidding. You know, I'm loath to get rid of them.
Right. No, and I get that. Google Google uses a whole different format, so I think not. But what I'm wondering is,
it can translate VBA into GSpread.
GSpread. Yeah.
So it'll translate your VBA scripts into a Google Sheet.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been fond of translation. There's always something that goes wrong.
Sure.
Right. There are now LibreOffice, which has its own spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Can run some VB scripts from Excel. Enable it. You have to enable the feature, but it will run some. But I can't tell you which ones. I can't tell you.
Yeah, well, I can test it.
Right. And since that's what I'm about to suggest, LibreOffice is completely free.
Yeah.
So you can download it, load up some of your more, say, extensive spreadsheets.
Yeah.
And see if they work. Right?
Yeah.
But I do know that LibreOffice will do some VBA scripts.
Okay. Well, winter's coming. It's a long winter. I'll have some time to devote to this.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you for helping me.
All right. Thank you. Good luck.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. We also had a text message.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Running the latest Windows 10, latest iTunes, latest iOS on an iPhone 6, 128 gig. Three problems, all of which started around April after the update, I'm sure. Incorrect album art shows up on the phone for some imported MP3s, meaning artwork is the wrong album. Wrong artist, but it exists in my collection. If there isn't a fix, can you turn off the artwork? Number two, while listening with LG Bluetooth headphones and JBL Bluetooth speakers, there's a beep between the tracks, not streamed. Number three.
Whoa. How many questions this guy got?
Three.
Okay.
Third question. Does this on my wife's iPhone also? While listening to music, not streamed, through the iPhone, through the phone speakers, sometimes the first 2 minutes sounds like static and multiple cutouts in music that eventually clear up and also happens right after the incoming text. Thanks for your time, Casey.
All right, so let's start with the third one. It is very possible that, in fact, what's happening is your system is getting, whether it's just a text or text with pictures and et cetera, it's just a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, when you get some sort of, it depends, yeah, because look, when you're running any sort of smartphone, you often run multiple programs in the background. Whether you realize it or not. And if your phone is kind of redlined and then you start music and you get a text,
Also is where you are and how strong the signal is.
Well, no, he's not streaming. He said he's not streaming, so it's all stuff stored on his phone.
Yeah, but other stuff going on in the background.
Mm. Right. It still may be searching for a signal somewhere.
He said it was a 6?
iPhone 6.
Which is an older phone.
Right. So it is that could just simply be that the phone is a little overwhelmed. If you've got things in the, you know, I know on an Android I can shut down all the background stuff.
You can do well.
Of the background.
Turn to airplane mode and it turns off all the radios. That shuts down the big power draining things. So if the problems are all on the phone, but everything plays okay in iTunes. I would say back up the phone, erase and restore, and then that puts a clean OS on, eliminates any cruft that might have been building up, and should then restore your album art from iTunes on your computer.
If it's running fine in iTunes.
Right.
So check that first. And, of course, please make sure you back up your phone
Back up your computer too. Back up everything. There have been continual problems with the artwork in music library programs. Initially, it was the CDDB, the Compact Disc Database, which was a guy in a college made a program.
Right.
So people could upload track names and artwork because none of that is actually stored on the disc. And then it was bought by Gracenote, and hopefully gets a little better, but we still see cases where they are wrong at the other end. And
all right.
So you fix them yourself in your iTunes.
All right. Do you have more? Well, now we got to talk about LG, yeah. But we got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Casey's Text, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Howdy, folks. This is Dan Gross. You can listen to me Mondays 6 to 8 p.m. here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we are... I believe on the last piece of Casey's text.
Yep.
About the LG Bluetooth beeping between tracks. And, okay.
General Bluetooth troubleshooting, unpair both devices and repair them one at a time.
Right. This apparently is not unknown. In point of fact, I'm on a thread on Spotify where way over 68 by now. People are complaining about the same thing. There's a Reddit thing that apparently has no end that's the same thing.
Like every Reddit thing.
You're right. Like every Reddit thing.
There's one on Verizon.
Yeah. They're just everywhere. And I do not know what to tell you about this.
The answer seems to be yes. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. And they say turn the volume down. Okay.
And you won't hear the beep.
And you won't hear the beep, and that's exactly right. One person suggests that this is the same issue we were talking about earlier. There's too many background things going on. I don't necessarily know how that's supposed to work, but okay. And of course, it may well be that you have an older version of iOS. Maybe you can't upgrade if it's an iPhone 6.
I think he said he had the latest, and the 6 can upgrade to the latest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. iOS 12 came out this week, and now I don't know anything anymore. I got to
relearn everything.
Yeah.
But a whole lot of people are having this problem. The iPhone, particularly with Bluetooth headphones, and it's not just LG, it appears to be all of them, the iPhone beeps between songs. And here's a very long thread on Apple support website, and I'm still looking for an answer.
I'm reading one on a website called Jaybird, who make Bluetooth headsets, and their answer is it's the... speech assistant moving you to the next song, and there's no way to turn that feature off.
Right. And there's lots of people saying I've got the same problem, and there's no response from Apple. So I'm sorry, we do not have an answer for that particular question. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say about that.
Other than you're not alone, if that helps any.
Right.
But try unpairing and repairing and see
can't
if that...
Can't hurt.
Yeah.
We had another person just text in and it says, the person with the slowing computer, disk errors, causing the drive to try many times.
Yep, that's question a possibility.
Tip-off was slow to shut down.
Yeah.
There's a run check disk and see if it finds any disk errors.
Yeah, we did suggest that, so that's good.
Yep.
Many Bluetooth... Going back to the Bluetooth question. Many Bluetooth devices use a beep to tell you the battery's low.
Oh, that's true too.
So maybe,
but it wouldn't be between every song.
Yeah. So it plays every 3 minutes.
Maybe,
which coincidentally is between every song.
That could
maybe.
Or you don't hear it when the song is playing. You only hear it in the silence between songs.
Right, right, right. Maybe.
It's all in the timing.
Yeah. It's all in the timing. But yeah, that there are a whole lot of people complaining about this. Check your batteries. Make sure it's a charged Bluetooth speaker. But it is certainly likely that it's just the problem with Apple. Back to the phones.
Well, I've read other things that Android phones are doing it too.
I don't know.
I think it's a problem with Bluetooth.
Well, it might be.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Dennis. What's up?
Well, this is, I think, mainly for Steve. I've got a problem with an iPhone 6 and a brand new iPhone 6S that I've had for 2 days. And this situation happened after I switched from Verizon to Consumer Cellular. The vibration feature on both phones does not work. And then when I'm talking, I can't hear you. And when you're talking, you can't hear me. So I'm going to stop talking. But that's the beginning of it.
Yeah, well, the problem with not hearing the other person when you're speaking is that it sounds like is Consumer Cellular is half duplex. Full duplex means both of us could talk at the same time and we'd both hear each other. Half duplex means only one half of the conversation is heard at a time. So either I'm talking or you're talking. There's nothing you can do about that. That has entirely to do with your carrier. But as for the vibration, that's a separate issue.
I'm sorry. I meant that with you guys. That's that when one person talks, the studio can hear, and that sort of thing. We got to do it like a two-way radio.
Oh yeah. Well, then the problem is here. The way our system is set up, it's half duplex. Mm-hmm. I did not know that. Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, so the vibration feature on both phones does not work now that I switched to Consumer Cellular. And again, I can give you the troubleshooting stuff we followed, but if you have some thoughts, that would be wonderful.
Well, there's usually, you have the choice to have it vibrate or ring, or vibrate and ring, and that's in the settings.
And did they change? Did you look to see if they changed?
Yeah.
We went through that. We turned both on. We turned both off. And I called Apple support, and they ran a diagnostic on the iPhone 6S, and they said that circuit is good for the vibration, and we tried various things, but for some reason, nothing.
It just strikes me as odd that because the carrier you have should have no issue, should have no connection to whether it rings or vibrates.
All in the phone.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, under settings, and then sound. Sound and haptics, and then vibrate on ring and vibrate on silent. You can turn on or off. I suppose it's possible the haptic engine died and it just doesn't vibrate anymore.
On both phones?
Yeah, that would be unlikely.
Yeah, as I said, the iPhone 6S is brand new from 2 days. It's what Consumer Cellular sent me. The iPhone 6 was the one I had, which worked fine with the vibration feature until I switched over to Consumer Cellular. If I may give you a little something other background, they use two networks, T-Mobile and AT&T.
Right.
And I had to go today, I've only been with Consumer Cellular for 2 days. Started out with T-Mobile, and today I had to go and get a SIM card and get switched to AT&T. Because the voicemail, I could not set up visual voicemail.
Yeah,
and I can tell you what they told me.
Your carrier has to support that feature.
Right.
Well, yes, and they told me the carrier for T-Mobile did, but then the woman who was at her computer at Consumer Cellular, she says, I'm turning your visual voicemail on here. She says, but then I'm looking on the carrier, and it won't go on with the carrier. She says, so I'm going to suggest you switch over to AT&T network.
Interesting.
Could that be the same thing with the vibration feature?
It is unlikely. That is built into the phone and has nothing to do with who your carrier is. Now, the iPhone, does it have the ring silence switch?
Yeah, that's what I was feeling my phone. When you flip the switch from silent to ring, when you put it on silent, it should vibrate.
Right.
Shortly. Just to tell you that it's in vibrate mode. Can you feel that vibration?
No, yeah, I'm aware that if I switch from one status to the other, it'll vibrate if I switch it to silence, and then it'll vibrate when I put it back to normal. Don't get any of that.
That does sound like a mechanical problem in the phone.
But yeah. On two of them simultaneously?
Yeah, it doesn't, yeah.
I don't...
You could try, well.
And you've done all the usual restart the phone, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and as I said, Apple support this morning ran a diagnostic on the circuit, on the brand new one, and they said your vibrating circuit looks just fine. We're getting the proper response back.
And could they make it vibrate?
No, I asked that, and they said, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you have to physically have the phone to do that test.
Right.
You could try taking, well, I don't know if it will help too much. Take the SIM card out, and then when you turn it on, it's basically an iPod.
Right.
without contact to the cellular service. And then try the silent switch on the side and turning sound and haptics on and off in the settings. And see if you can feel it vibrating then.
Will I be able to get into the settings if I don't have a SIM card in there, or is it just going
to... Sure. You'll be able to do anything except connect to the cellular network.
So all the stuff that's part of the iPhone itself, like Steve said, now it's an iPod, and you can get into settings on an iPod.
Okay, that's one thing I'll give a try. Is there anything, if you, probably you're not seeing anything on the internet about this, huh?
Well, other than make sure the settings turned on.
Right, okay. Right. And if you go into settings and go into sound and haptics and make sure that both vibrate on ring and vibrate on silent are on, you know, they're green, they're on, because it is certainly not impossible that when you switched over to cellular, those got your new carrier that got turned off, but it doesn't mean that it couldn't be turned back on again. It's just that going with the new carrier and it resets the phone, and that may have been turned off. So, but you say you checked that.
Yeah, I did that myself numerous times. And in addition to that, on the iPhone, there's a separate area where you can go into. You can do a custom vibration depending on the phone call you're getting.
Right.
And they had me, the default, I think, is called Quick. And they had me switch to one of the many different settings that they had. They even had me do a custom one and then switch back to Quick, which is the default. And you don't get nothing. Like, and if you, on the phone, if you do a ringtone, for every ringtone you switch to, you get a little test. You know, it'll show you what it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you don't get that.
I'm thinking I got to go back to Verizon.
I might go to the Apple Store instead. They would probably know more about the phone.
Well, and having it in their hands, they'll be able to do a lot more than we can over the phone.
Okay. Can you give me like an example of an Apple Store in Rochester that I could go to or surrounding?
The Apple Store is in Eastview Mall. There's also several independent stores. I happen to work for one. We're called Mac Ave. We're also in Victor on Route 251.
Okay, and if I brought that to you, you would be able to do something a little more than what Apple support could do over the phone?
Yes.
Yeah, in general, having it in your hands means you can do way more with it than you can.
And see what's going on.
Over the phone.
Okay, great. Well, thanks anyhow, guys. I appreciate your time.
Sorry, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, sometimes, particularly with something that has so many settings as a phone, you need to have it in your hands because you're going to look at it and go, oh, look at that, and boom, you're done. But
yeah, it's obvious when you can see the screen.
Right. And so, yeah, we understand that can become an issue.
Yeah.
It's a very...
every link I see for my vibrate doesn't work is make sure it's turned on.
Right.
It never says, what if it is...
Right. Well, it strikes me as odd that it would happen when they switched over.
Yeah.
Except that if there was a complete reset to the phone, that reset may have turned them both off, but you have to look at all the places you can turn it on to see that you have, in fact, got it turned on in all those places.
Yeah.
Especially switching carriers.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a full reset of the phone.
Yeah, totally.
And so every setting is turned off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just may be that in one of those many places, it is still turned off.
I turned my vibration off.
Yeah.
But when I go in to check my ringtone pattern, it still vibrates. So the sample vibration works, even if vibrate on ring is turned off.
Right.
Of course, this is a 7, but I would assume it's similar on the 6.
You may assume that, but that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Nope,
not going to remember to turn that back on or I'll...
Yeah.
I am really awaiting the iOS 12 feature where it's do not disturb for a while. Because I'll set mine on silent for the show, and then on Thursday it says, I missed how many phone calls?
Yeah. I'm there too. All right, listen, that music tells me you've wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense, but we know that you want more. You just want more. And so you're going to have another hour of this nonsense on the other side of this break. So take a quick bio break, get yourself a little something to eat and or drink, and come back again for a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Dave Enright, it's Steve Ray, it's Nick Francesco, and it's you. And it's 59 minutes after the hour, and it's Soundbites, and it's the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Rich from around the quite back on the line, I think. Hi, Rich. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good afternoon, gentlemen. My Windows 7 desktop screen is all messed up. I can only get half of your Sound Bites screen on. The cursor has a mind of its own. It won't respond to my... It responds to my mouse, but it won't pull things... excuse me. It won't pull things over in my... toolbar, which used to be horizontal on the screen, is now vertical, and that's all messed up. How can I restore my screen to where it was a month ago? Can I run the security tangle as well?
Well, one, the toolbar, all you got to do is drag that back down to the bottom.
I tried that, it won't work. I hold the left button on the mouse or right button, whatever, and it won't drag.
All right, well, the first thing you need to do... under Windows 7, can you get to the Start menu?
Yes.
Okay. On Control Panel, under Appearance and Personalization, click Display.
Appearance and Personalization, change the theme, change desktop background, or adjust screen resolution. There are three choices.
There you go. Adjust the resolution.
Okay.
And it may be that it's set too large. If everything is too large, are you using a CRT or a flat panel?
A flat panel.
Okay. Then, you need to adjust your screen resolution. What it sounds like is that something that you may have been running, or you accidentally, but more likely something you were running, changed the screen resolution. Your flat panel monitor has a native resolution, 1024 by 768, 1900 by 1024, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
And it's quite likely that resolution is now wrong in that section of the control panel.
It is set to recommended.
And what is it set to? What is the number?
1366 by 768.
And does that match what the manual for the monitor says it should use?
Okay, then I should lower it. Oh, it is to max. It is to high. Okay, I'll put it in the middle, 1280 to 768.
No, you have to look in the manual for the monitor and see what its resolution is, what the monitor can do.
Uh-huh. I understand the word resolution, but how would that play into the cursor not responding to my mouse, as well as the positioning of the toolbar and the fact that the screen won't open all the way, such as Soundbites only takes up a third of the screen.
If the screen resolution is wrong and you can't see the whole screen, like you can you see? Okay, hold on. Let's hold on a minute. Okay. There's a few things going on here. It is possible you have. Did you upgrade anything or change anything or add anything recently?
Well, I did include all of the parts of the Security Tango. They're all on the screen. Yes, I did.
You ran the Security Tango, but did you do anything else? Install new software?
No, I did not.
Okay. What it sounds like to me is that either the Windows 7 screen is too big, or there's something not right with your driver.
The video driver's got messed up.
So if that's the case, and that usually happens when you install or change a game sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
At any rate, the idea is if you did that, then you may need to reinstall your original Windows 7 driver for your video card. Not for the monitor, for the video card.
Got it.
I hope you have that somewhere.
Now also, you can lock the taskbar so you can't move it.
Oh, right.
So you have to right-click on it to make sure the taskbar is unlocked. Then you can drag it to any corner of the screen.
And then relock it.
Right.
Oh, okay. Tell me do I right-click on the taskbar?
Yes.
Yeah, on a blank
space.
Yes, I've done that. I have a screen opened up. Which of the items?
Unlock.
Toolbar?
The one that says unlock.
Let's see. Toolbars. Okay, I will find that. I'll find it, but you've given me...
Now, is everything on your screen... Okay, now is everything on your screen too big or only web pages?
Well, everything's big, but I don't mind that. The size of them is not of a concern to me, or should it be?
Well, what we're worried about is it's too big, and so you can't see the edge of the
yeah,
the edge
everything
of the
window won't fit on the
because
screen.
It's off the edge of the screen.
Right. One of the things that worries me is that if you were to put the taskbar back at the bottom of the screen, you wouldn't be able to see it anymore because your screen is too big.
The image is off the physical screen.
Right.
I see. Okay. Let me move the images around, see if that works, and I will unlock the taskbar.
And now, see if you can find the manual for your monitor or Google the model number and see what its native resolution is, and that's what you need to set your display to.
Well, it is also possible that you've simply set the desktop too large.
Ah.
Okay. Yep.
Right? So on Windows 7, particularly with an LCD monitor, you can set your desktop too large.
Okay.
And
normally for Windows 7, the average screen size, is, for LCDs and everything else, is if you do 1024 by 768, that's what they call usually the average.
Right, but he needs to check what his exact resolution is.
Yeah, if he
monitor.
Right clicks on him anywhere on a blank space on his screen, it will.
Right, he'll be able to change it. Yeah, but he's got to check the monitor manual to see what that monitor is natively capable of doing.
There are a couple of things you can try. One is to hold down the control key and use your mouse scroll wheel and see if the text, if everything gets smaller. You may have zoomed it out.
That's true, too.
Say that once more, please.
You hold the control key down while you use the scroll wheel on the mouse.
Okay, I'm holding it down, and the scroll wheel I am turning.
Is the text getting larger or smaller?
It is not.
Okay,
then. No, it isn't.
Okay, then it wasn't that. Again, right-click on your desktop, select Properties, go to Settings, and see what that's set at. You can change your screen resolution there as well. There should be a slider for more or less or whatever it says on there. And see if you can do that. Also, the control and I believe minus key also does zooming. Control plus or control minus.
Why can't I find this in English? I keep finding every other language but English.
I don't know. but that should also, if you did in fact zoom the screen using one of those things accidentally, that would unzoom it for you.
Okay. Well, you're giving me some ideas. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Yep. Bye-bye. There are a lot of ways. There are a lot of ways to make screen size differences under Windows. And you know, Mac does it. Linux does it. It's nice to be able to do those things, but it's very painful when you accidentally do it, because which one did you do it in?
Yeah.
You know, I for the longest time, I find myself still holding the control key down when I've been doing something with the control key and then moving the mouse scroll button.
And if you do it just a little bit, then, you know, you lose your Windows icon, or on the Mac, you know, you lose your Apple icon. And
Right. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
So you have to go back up. You have to go back down. It's a pain in the neck. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hi, guys. Real quick on that gentleman. That's kind of what happened to him has happened to me.
Yeah.
And I've gone into that setting and actually just changed the screen resolution to something it shouldn't be, accept it, then go back to the recommended, and sometimes it just snaps back into place.
That's a good point. Sometimes, particularly, one of the problems, of course, is it's Windows 7, which nobody supports anymore. Certainly, you're not going to be able to download a new driver for it. Certainly, Microsoft couldn't care less.
If you're lucky, your video card and monitor companies have left the old drivers online.
Right.
But Microsoft has started removing all the old articles.
Or the video card came with the CD.
I'll give you $100 for another hard drive.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Well, if you got
the CD. Yeah.
If, you know, it's an original machine that he bought, it should come with the video drivers on a CD.
Right. So, you definitely need when you're running Windows 7, you need a lot of patience and you need a lot of understanding, and you need at some point to let go. That's just the way that has to be. But you're right. Thank you, Mark. That's a good point.
Second of all, you were talking about backups earlier, and I couldn't call earlier. A few weeks ago, we talked about Cobian backup.
Yeah.
For a local backup. I found one even easier to use, and it comes in a free and a paid version. And the free version works great. It's called Backup Maker. And I love it because it will let you go in and configure it to even compress your backups.
But nice.
It puts them in their proper format. You're not putting it in some strange format. You can see your files as you see JPEGs and MP3s and anything like that. But it will not compress compressed files. So you're not double compressing, say, JPEGs and MP3s.
Oh, that's
but
nice.
It will compress anything that can be compressed.
Very nice.
It will back up to hard drives, CD, DVD, media if you want to. It also allows you to encrypt your backups, and you can back up to a protected web server.
Interesting. Looks like a great product. It's at backupmaker.com. Steve's going to put up a link.
Yeah, I'm using it right now, and I love it. The other thing you can do is when you do back it up and it goes into this zip file that it creates, you can right-click on it and say open with Explorer. And you can see the files, and say you just need to replace one file you mishandled.
Right.
Yep.
You can easily find it, copy it out of there, and put it back where it belongs without having to restore everything.
Very, very nice.
And it does have its own restore feature also.
It's available in multiple languages. It was updated last week, so it's still,
exactly.
And you can even get a version for Windows to the Server 2003.
Yeah, right. You can go all the way back to that. It works with Windows XP, Vista 7, 8, 10, and it works. It says here it works with Windows 11, which is great. And it's free for private use, and if you want the professional version, it's only $25. So that's. That's a nice find. Thanks a lot.
I love, love, love it. Did
Excellent.
I say I love it?
Do you love it? How do you feel, really? Don't hold back. Doggone it. I'm sick and tired of that.
All right. I just wanted to throw that out to you. Another tool in our arsenal.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it does look like a pretty neat program. I mean, I haven't explored it yet, but it looks like a pretty neat program. And again, it's free, so... Give it a shot.
I saw a commercial for a backup thing on TV, and it scared me. It's a flash drive you buy with backup software on it. Uh-huh. And you plug it into your computer, and it automatically backs up your photos.
Huh.
What else does it automatically do?
Exactly.
And all your photos are going to fit on a flash drive?
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. How many photos do you have? I have 15,000.
Yeah.
You know, so I take 99% of my photos from my phone now.
Yeah.
So my phone just automatically backs them up to Google Photos, which means they're up there forever. And then I download the ones that I really want to keep.
And you might have more than photos that you want backed up, too.
Well, exactly.
Your Quicken file.
Right. And that's the whole point behind Google Backup and Sync.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Munich, Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno. Join me every Sunday from 12 to 2 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Well, this is an interesting story. Well, Apple is busy preparing. Hi, how are you? Apparently wasn't that interesting a story. Forget it. While Apple is busy in the last-minute preparations of iOS 12, a security researcher has shown a proof-of-concept web page that uses CSS to crash and restart your iOS running iPhone or iPad instantly. The same CSS-based hack reportedly also freezes a Safari window once you access it on a Mac. The 15-line web code snippet that highlights the flaw in Apple's operating system tries to use all the available resources on your iOS device. This causes a kernel panic on the hardware and ultimately brings a sudden restart. In July, ex-NSA security researchers Patrick Wardle spotted a bug that was crashing iOS devices on typing Taiwanese in iMessage, Facebook, WhatsApp, and other apps after receiving the Taiwanese flag emoji. The code pushing the denial of service bug was found to exist in iOS 11.3, although Apple issued a fix in the iOS 11.4.1, point left elbow point J, updated a later stage. Security researcher Sabri Hadoosh on Saturday tweeted the URL featuring the proof of concept web page that crashes iOS devices. Hadoosh also posted the source code of the web page on GitHub to detail the forced restart flaw. Hadoosh also says that it affects all devices running iOS 9.0 and above. The web page is said to use all the available resources to cause a kernel panic on the system, causing the smartphone to power cycle off and on to prevent damage to the electronics. The code, based on HTML and CSS, contains numerous div tags. The CSS lines instruct the browser to apply a blur effect to every div element on the page, overloading the WebKit renderer. This means you'll experience similar results no matter whether you're using Safari or Firefox on your iPhone or iPad. Unlike some past iOS hacks that brought crashing cases through iMessage and other messaging apps, the latest case causes the sudden restart once you visit the web page. This makes it less impactful. Also, it's more annoyance than it is a problem as such. Also, it's worth noting the hack doesn't involve any data loss. It just crashes the system by putting too much load on it. As it is only 15 lines of code, it can be planted into seemingly innocent websites or sent via text message. Nonetheless, Hadoosh says that anything that renders HTML on iOS is affected through the flaw. This means the link to the hack can be found on any social media app such as Facebook or Twitter. It could be given through email, WhatsApp.
Hey, check this out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Once you tap that link, your device will freeze for a second and then restart. Hadoosh has already notified Apple about the hack. It is, however, unclear whether Apple will be able to fix the flaw in the upcoming iOS 12 update or through a new iOS 12 point release. Meanwhile, it is recommended to avoid... Oh, here's a new thing most of you have never heard before. It is recommended to avoid tapping any unknown links in your iOS devices. Duh. So keeping your device...
Or any device.
Or any device, yeah. In point of fact. Keeping your devices running well isn't always in your hands. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. This is not a dangerous bug because it restarts your phone, but you don't lose data. I guess unless you're in the middle of typing a text message somewhere else, or
but you save every all the time, right?
Right.
Yeah.
and if it's on your desktop in Safari, it freezes Safari. But again, unless you were in the middle of doing something and hadn't saved it.
I wonder if it freezes all the windows or just the one that you're in.
I don't know Safari well enough to say if it's...
There should be sandbox, but you know.
Should be sandbox, yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, the point is that this is not a dangerous kill your machine forever, destroy your iPhone, it blows up in your hand kind of problem. What it really is just an annoyance, but it does show yet another flaw that needs to be fixed in the iPhone before somebody says, well, if it can do that.
Yeah, that's, I always say, a flaw that leads to a crash eventually leads to an exploit that does something specific.
Right. So this is really, foot in the door, nose under the tent sort of thing, and they need to fix it fast. But he's right, it may be too late. Hadoosh is right. It may be too late to fix it in iOS 12 if that's pretty much on its way out the door.
Yeah, iOS 12 came out earlier this week. Do not install it unless you're one of those adventurous types. Don't install it on your main device. And it's probably okay. But what we always like to say is don't install the 0.0 releases. Wait for someone else to find the problems.
Right.
I expect 12.0.1 to be out in a couple of weeks.
Right.
I'm waiting for that.
Right.
Unless you have an extra device to play with, you know. So we've got some extra things at the office that we've got the iOS 12 on, the new macOS Mojave, which comes out this coming Monday. Same thing. You know, you may want to wait till 14.0.1.
Right.
Before you do a major upgrade. And back up before you do anything, just in case.
Well, I just upgraded my Linux box to 18.04. Right, which came out in April.
1804, right?
Right, 1804. I waited till 1809 was out, and then I upgraded. 1810 was out, and then I upgraded to 1804 because I'm cynical, I guess is the best way to put that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy, what's up?
Hi there. Happy birthday to Steve and Dave.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And
Bilbo Baggins.
My wife's laptop.
And happy birthday to you. Oh, I see.
Windows 10. Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's an HP with Windows 10. Recently, it started... She goes, we get the paper digitally. Or electronically, however you want to put it.
Right.
Recently, and it's been working fine. All of a sudden, this past week... All of a sudden, now she's getting notifications in the notification tab in the bottom right corner. And they're coming in like, they'll just pile up, 8, 10, 11 plus. Driving her nuts. And just you have to go in and open up the notifications tab and hit the X's and get rid of it. I went in the website. There doesn't seem to be a place to turn them off. So I'm assuming it's in Windows you turn off notifications?
Yeah. Are these notifications coming from Windows or from whatever browser you're using?
It's coming from the DNC. And
okay.
She's using Chrome browser.
So, oh, okay. All right.
It's the same place where Super Anti-Spyware puts in a virus definition update and that one pops in there and tells you that's there. Little things like that. But all right. of it, and it's it, it, But all of a sudden, and the DNC never did this, and all of a sudden, I don't know what they changed, but all of a sudden, they're pushing out these notifications, and it's just messing everything. It seems to slow the machine down. And
I see a lot of websites have started doing this. Yeah. The first time you go to the website, you know, your little pop-up says, do you want to get notifications?
And then you can say allow or block. And because they sometimes switch allow and block,
yeah,
every once in a while you accidentally hit allow.
Yep.
Any rate, if it is in Chrome, so you click the three dots, right? The menu, the three dots menu at the top, and select settings.
Okay.
At the bottom of settings, you'll see advanced.
Okay.
Under privacy and security, you can click content settings. Then notifications, and then you can choose to block or allow notifications. You can say block all, block a site, allow a site.
Does it give you a list of what sites
first,
you've already
allowed? First thing you should do is check under allow a site and see if the DNC is there, and then you can just uncheck it or delete that site, and it won't, and it'll ask you again next time and pay attention to what you click. Now, if they're actually coming from Windows 10, it's very similar. So what you want to do there is click the Action Center icon that's on the right-hand side of the Windows taskbar. That little, it's probably an up arrow. And then click the All Settings button and select System. And then notifications and actions, and then add or remove. Look for the notifications subhead, and then you can turn on and off stuff there. Just same idea.
Okay.
So it depends on which one it's coming from.
When you open up the notifications on the right, bottom right, there's a settings button. I clicked that, and it took me to system settings, and I got to the notifications and apps. And
yeah,
there was one for news, and I'm looking at it, okay, and I'm thinking, does that include all news or just their news? Or
you know, that's strictly Microsoft. Microsoft doesn't care about anybody else. That's Microsoft news. You want notifications and actions, and then and right now it's probably checked to say get notifications from apps and other senders.
Okay.
And there's also one for show notifications on the lock screen, show alarms and reminders, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, if you turn off get notifications from apps and other senders, that is not Microsoft. So you will still get the Microsoft notices.
But that may turn off like your email notifications.
Depends on where you're getting your email. Right, yeah. Right. But again, that's why check Chrome first. And see if it is in fact somehow you allowed or didn't disallow, I guess is the way to put that. You didn't disallow the notifications from the DNC.
Well, this is the boss's computer, and I know whenever something comes up that gets in her way, she just tries to click her way through it and doesn't really read what's there.
Yeah. Right. So she may have said yes.
Got click happy.
And if that's true, then turning off then going into the Chrome notifications. You do have the granularity in there to be able to say no to any specific website.
And at the beginning, you think, oh, yeah, I want notifications of news. But then it comes every 2 minutes and stop.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need all those notifications.
Or it's, what the heck is this thing? Get it out of the way. Tap, 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 tap.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's a lot of that.
I want to get where I want to get, and I don't want to be bothered reading what the computer's telling me.
Right. I admit, I get that myself sometimes. I'll get a thing and I'll start to just say okay, and I'll think, wait a minute, what's wrong with you? Read this first. I don't care how busy and how fast you need to do the things. Go pay attention. But we don't always do that, and we should, and blah, blah, blah.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Right.
Well, I get a chuckle because this is a person who taught many, many, many children how to read instructions, and take your time and read the instructions. And what does she do? Not read the instructions, just smash her way through it.
Well, sure, you know, do no, what that's I say, called, not what I do.
Yeah, that's called do as I say, not as I do, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
But now, okay. And let me give you a piece of advice. When you fix it, don't lord it over her.
No. We go in when she's not looking, and we fix it, and then the problem goes away, and then she's happy.
Exactly. You know what you're doing.
And then I don't get yelled at.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. All right. Thanks, Andy.
Well, see you later, guys.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Everybody wants to give you notifications these days of everything. And if you allow them, well, that's great, depending on what it is you're allowing. Like, I'm waiting for a package today, and I signed up to get text messages for when it gets delivered. But that's a one-time, one-shot, give me the text messages for this delivery thing. And so when it comes, I can happily, I was about to say run downstairs, but mostly limp downstairs. But you see, I certainly don't want, and every website is asking for them now. Every single website. Do you want to get notifications for when a new YouTube? No.
Oh, that's why. So on the Apple, there's a do not disturb sign that stops all notifications
right
while I'm giving a presentation.
Right.
I forgot to turn it back on. So that's why I'm not seeing any of these notifications things, because I have that turned off all the time. That's going to be a new feature. Turn off for 2 hours, or turn off until I change my location.
Right. All right, back to the phones. We at least have time to take the question from Frank from Rochester, New York. Hi, Frank. What's up?
Hey, guys. I got a quick question. I won't keep you. I've got an HP laptop. I believe it's about 5 years old. It's a Pavilion. And the hard drive crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And good buddy who's fixes computers, put in a new hard drive. Problem is, Windows 7 is gone. It's missing.
Yep.
They put a sticker on the machine, on the bottom of the machine.
Yeah.
And it's so badly worn out that it's not legible.
Yep.
And he tells me that typically, I think, if he said this, is that the key number is in the registry somewhere.
Not in new hard drive.
Not on a new hard drive. It was on the old hard drive. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but it's hosed. It's completely hosed.
Yeah, right? That would have been on HP used to do two partitions on the hard drive. And usually the backup software and everything else was on that other partition, which also had the key code on it.
Right.
So you could do a recovery.
Right, and if you didn't copy down that key code 5 years ago.
Yeah,
Yeah, and I hate to be the one to tell you this, but of course you can't get Windows 7 anymore. You certainly can't get key codes anymore. Linux would probably run on that machine amazingly well, but Windows 7 likely will not.
He's putting Linux on it right now as you speak. So I just wanted to get Windows 7 back. I guess I can't do it.
No, I guess not, and I am sorry. We got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ramey, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported. Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Computer problems? Get answers from the experts. Sound bites, noon to 2 Saturdays, only on Jazz 90.1.
Wait, there's experts?
Where are they?
That's what he said.
Okay, well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Scotty from Greece, New York on the line. Hi, Scotty, what's up?
Hi, guys. I got an Asus with Windows 8, and I'm wondering, you know, what should I do to, should I give up on this this laptop, or can I do something? What would be my options to get this thing running again?
So Windows 8 has stopped working?
Well, I've been told that the Windows 8 it's like having an old set of keys to a house that's already had all the locks changed.
Right.
Yeah.
You can upgrade to Windows 10, but since the free upgrade window has passed, you now have to pay for Windows 10. You can put Linux on it. Those are pretty much your two choices.
Which is free.
Which is free. But those are pretty much your two choices. Windows 8, the problem with Windows is that when they do an upgrade, Microsoft then abandons the old version pretty much. And they have done that with Windows 8. They have done that with Windows 7. And you just can't get support, upgrades, new software, reload your driver. You can't do any of that stuff anymore, easily at least. And so that's why Microsoft insists that people move up each time to the latest and greatest version of Windows. If you miss that window of opportunity there to do so for free, then you will have to pay for it. The other thing you have to check is whether the specific Asus tablet that you have will take Windows 10. Depends on how old it is and everything else, right? But given that if it will take it, then you could purchase a copy of Windows 10 and have that installed, or you could put Linux on it. Now, I have an Asus laptop that that also came with Windows 8, and Windows 10 went on it just fine, but I eventually put Linux on it because I'm a Linux guy. But the point is that and mine is probably 5 years old now, so it ran Windows 10 just fine. So it is quite possible that Windows 10 will run well on your Asus, but you should check that first. And you do that at Asus's website.
So, yeah, you want to make sure you have enough processor, enough RAM, and you may want to upgrade the RAM anyway.
Right. It's at Asus.com, obviously, you don't have any log in there, but you can go under support and consumer and take a look at your various notebook things, laptops, phones. You scroll down, you'll see the various and then you put in your products, you select your product series and your product model, and it'll tell you all about it, what you can do and what you can't do and everything else.
I'm just boggled with this. I got a laptop with Vista on it.
Yeah.
And it just keeps chugging along.
Well, and that's great until it doesn't. And then, right, and then now what do you do? And Vista, of course, you have to be very careful at this point where you go on the internet as to what you might be downloading in the background or accidentally or whatever. But that's one of the problems Microsoft has. The older versions work well enough for most people. And of course, Microsoft doesn't get any money when you use the old versions.
So they
want you to upgrade. And one of the ways they get you to do that is they stop supporting the old versions. And so you will get, for Windows 7, for example, you will continue to get, and Windows 8, you will continue to get many security updates for a while. But then even that goes away, and certainly no other updates will come to you. And so you may find that as the world moves on, you are left behind. And that's, a lot of people, like I said, put either Linux or Neverware's software on their systems, turn it into a Chromebook, essentially. Older hardware runs as a Chromebook really, really well. But it depends on what it is you do and whether or not that's useful to you. But in this particular case, you should be able to upgrade to Windows 10. Check the Asus support site, and they'll let you know.
Any good places to purchase the Windows 10?
You would have to purchase it, yes. But before you spend any money, check to make sure that your laptop will support Windows 10. Then you can, through most any computer store,
get it online.
You can probably get it from the Microsoft Store on the Windows 8 machine. Of course, you'll pay retail price there.
You might be able to find a
discount at one of the retail. Everyone, stay away from Newegg. And if you bought anything at Newegg in the last few years, you're screwed. They just had a big breach and lost a bunch of data.
Right. But let's talk about that after we finish with this question. So that's pretty much what you have to do. And you can buy it either on retail or online. Don't go to Newegg. But any other place would be fine. And you should be able to upgrade to Windows 10. But I'm afraid you've missed the window to get it for free.
Yes, sir.
Okie doke.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk about my specific problem, gentlemen, and you have a great afternoon.
All right, thanks. You
too. Take care.
All right, have fun. Yeah, Newegg is a company where you can buy components or laptops or the whole Camilla there. And the problem is
they got cracked. Their egg was cracked.
Well, yeah, exactly. Egg was cracked, and it's the same. Payment data stealing attackers who hit Ticketmaster and British Airways. And it's just 15 lines of JavaScript. They actually got, it's called Magecart, and they got onto Newegg's web store checkout and actually injected the 15 lines into their software. So for the last year, I want to say, every time you made a payment there, all those details not only went to Newegg, but also went to somewhere else. Apparently for the last, since August 16th is all. So, so if you've been doing, if you've been buying things from Newegg, you might want to take a very clear look at your credit card statements and maybe get a new card. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Hi, yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, that's disappointing about Newegg because they're kind of the alternative to Amazon for a lot of things. So I like to see them stay healthy. but my problem is, you've been talking about the new iOS 12, and I've got an old iPhone 5S, which works just fine under the old operating system. I'm wondering, you were saying that you suggested people perhaps should delay upgrading the latest iOS to wait for the bugs to be, worked out, and does that apply even more so to an older iPhone like what I have, the 5S?
Yes.
Would the 5S tend to work less well with the latest iOS upgrade than say a newer phone?
Well, actually, one of the things they did in this iOS 12 is they made it work better on the older phones.
Okay.
So a lot of people who've been running the betas have reported how much better it's working. I would say if you don't have to rely on your phone for critical business needs, it's probably okay. They had a very wide public beta, and most of the bugs have probably been fixed, but there are still going to be things that don't get noticed until tens of millions of people are using it.
It really isn't going to be that long till the next point update, so I might.
Yeah, we usually see these first point updates being a couple of weeks. And then you can see how other people are read the reports of what they're seeing and what they're getting.
And you can revert back to the older system, right? You're not prohibited from doing it.
For now. Eventually, they'll stop signing the old. So that's a good point. You can install it. If you don't like it, you can go back. Eventually, they'll stop signing the previous version, and then you will not be able to install it. So there's a digital signature involved, and the phone will only install an OS that's digitally signed with a valid signature. And when the new OS has come out, the old OS eventually gets its digital signature removed and won't install anymore.
But that happens months down the road. So you have plenty of time to test it and go back.
Okay.
It's not going to happen in a day.
So there's not too much downside then. Okay.
No. But like Steve said, if your phone is critical to you and even a delay of a day is a problem, then you don't want to do the upgrade.
Yeah, there's nothing that critical about
right.
it. It's just a residential phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Good luck.
And it is nice how far back it goes in the old devices.
Yeah, that is very nice. That is very nice. And, of course, one of the things we've always said is good about buying Apple hardware is the software comes from Apple, so they not only put things out in a timely manner. I'm on Verizon, so we wait years to get an update to Android.
Yeah.
But not only do you get it in a timely manner, but they can say specifically, it will work on this phone. And that's a very nice feature. But, if you've got... Oh, my delivery came in. Speaking of...
limp down and get it.
I'll limp down and get it. I'll head for home and pick up my delivery. That'll be nice. All right, that music tells me that we are done. Done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to apologize to those to whom we did not get. Please call earlier next week. We tend to pick up calls toward the end of the day. But I definitely want to thank Dave Enright. I might as well thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. You've been listening to Soundbites right here on The Truly Great. And we are truly grateful to you that we can remain member-supported. This is Jazz 90.1. And we will see you in just 166 hours. Treat each other gently, will you?